baptism, salvation's tough act to follow. We're gonna knock it out, right? Hey, my name's Jay, and I have this quirk about me. Like most quirks, sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. The quirk's this: I like to take everything to an extreme. Now, if you know me personally, you get to interact with me on a daily or weekly basis, you would know this. My wife, Katie, likes to say that Jay has one speed, all out. I've always been like this. I can't change who I am. Only Jesus can do that. And if I hear an idea that makes sense to me, and it comes from a trusted source, you know, like a spouse, a parent, maybe a friend or a business person, I'll try to take action on that idea as soon as I can to see if that idea holds any water, if it actually works or not. And what I've found is when you start something new, it takes a lot of energy to get going and to get momentum, kind of like a 747 plane, right? You got to push down on the throttle to get all the energy you can to get up and lift so that you can coast a little bit. So I like this strategy for me because it either gives me results quickly or I see, you know, this idea is not really worthwhile. Well, I started this when I was young. And again, it's all about coming from a trusted source. And so when I was young, being Father's Day, I trusted my father. My father said, hey, Jay, you have an interest in basketball. You want to be better at basketball. You need to dribble 15 minutes a day. Everybody likes to shoot. You need to dribble. If you can handle the rock, you can play. So I dribbled and I got better. That was from a trusted source, and it certainly helped me. Well, the next example I give you, I'm not sure it necessarily helped me, but my dad also gave me this piece of advice. Now, I have a brother that's 5 years older than me. He had recently had braces. Braces are expensive. My dad came up to me when I was about 10 years old and says, you know, your teeth aren't that crooked, but they're not great. We don't really have money for an extra pair of braces, and so I think most of your teeth are okay, but your front tooth is like sticking out in front a little bit. So what I want you to do is every day for 15 minutes a day, take your finger and just push on your tooth like that. Just push. And over time, hopefully that will work. We won't have to pay for braces. He probably said pray in there as well, right? Well, I did that so faithfully because it was from a trusted source. I take things to extremes that I ended up getting a callus on my index finger from pushing so much. Now, this trusted source led me astray because I had braces in eighth grade, right? I had to get braces to fix my front tooth. You can see some pictures. It didn't really work out like my dad said it would. I had to get braces, and thankful for the braces now, and you can see some glamour shots up above. Another idea my parents gave me and this church gave me was to read the one-year Bible. Now, you guys get this pitch to you every Sunday, but let me tell you, 365 daily readings, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, curated for your consumption so that you can actually know what to read on any given day, the Word of God, absolutely free in the back. I can't say this enough. I started this when I was 13, probably when I had braces, and I've been reading it since, those braces pictures, every day. And I've always said this, if you want to understand what God is saying right now, you must understand what He has said. And He has magnified His word above His name. And so this word, if you can put that in your heart and hide the word in your heart, Psalm 119:11 says, it will be something that is so life-giving to you and give you direction. You know, for much of my adult life, I've been in sales. You can't hang around any sales organization without being introduced to this concept of personal and professional development. The idea of working on your mindset and your skills to help you deal with the daily rejection and discouragement, which comes with living on straight commission and no salary. Now, a lot of this stuff is useful, but it can lead you down a very slippery path. Warning. That you can try to achieve stuff in your own strength outside of the Holy Spirit empowering you. Julie talked about this last week, about the Holy Spirit empowering us to do what we can't do. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you want to have success in life, or maybe you've been in a position where you want to get a plan and a vision so that you can succeed and be promoted or take the next step. Well, like all things, I wanted to go all out in whatever I was doing. I was looking for a vision or a plan to give me success. Now, there are countless books out there that teach you concepts on how to do these things. And I'm going to boil down these books into this sentence or two, which says this: you need to get a crystal clear vision of what you want. Write it down, recite it in the morning and night, build your goals around that vision and think about it constantly because you become what you think about. Now, here's some of these books that I read. You can see Think and Grow Rich. There's The Magic of Believing, The Strangest Secret, and they all say this concept. Now, some of these books are helpful. Some of them are written by professing Christians, and they take a lot of biblical principles, but they strip out Jesus. And that's a dangerous territory to be in. Well, like all things, I took this to an extreme, and I wrote down my vision. I read in the morning and night of what I wanted my life to look like. My wife would hear me read it out loud. I would update it. But it wasn't enough. There's only 16 hours a day that you're awake and 8 hours you're asleep. I couldn't recite my vision while I was asleep. No fear. You know I love infomercial products. Here comes the pillow speaker. What's the pillow speaker, you might add? You can actually record your vision into the pillow speaker, okay? After you record your own voice, because your own voice is powerful, and the power of the life and death is the tongue, and his word is not, you know, is not returned void. I would take that thing, you'd plug it into your phone, back when you could plug it into your phone, I'd record on my iPhone, and I would put it underneath my pillow, okay? So that I could hear my voice speaking my vision for 8 hours a night, but Katie, my wife, could still go to sleep and not hear it. Did I tell you I take things to extremes? Yeah, that was an extreme. So I'm in the midst of this and I would update my vision. I'm like, that really wasn't it. I want to update it here. One day I'm updating my vision, writing down, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. No, not audibly, but oftentimes I get thoughts that come straight out of left field that are not a thought that I would be thinking myself. And this is what happened, okay? I'm writing out my vision, and a question pops into my head. And it said this, "Hey Jay, whose kingdom are you building?" And I was shook. The question so struck me. Maybe you've had that experience as well. You hear something from God or a thought comes that you know is from the Lord. See, I realized I was building a kingdom unto myself. It so shook me, I completely stopped writing out and reading visions. I knew that question, and the hard but true answer to that question was not so much a condemnation of me, but an invitation to a better way, to what I would call a deeper truth, an ancient truth, for what Jesus would call the abundant life. So my question to you is, do you want to find out what that truth is? Because I believe today that if you'll follow and put this into practice, what I'm going to speak about for the next 20 minutes or so, your life can look profoundly different 1 year from today. The question is, do you want to take that journey with Jesus? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know that you lead us into all truth. And I ask that you reveal truth to us right now and give us ears to hear. Amen. Well, today I want to talk to you about this commandment that changed my life. I got it from an extremely trustworthy source. In fact, I would argue it came from the most trustworthy source that you can find. And you don't have to take it to an extreme to get results, but it's something that Jesus expected every Christian to do. Now, I want to give a quick aside. This message today is not going to be about salvation. The only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus Christ and repent, just like we saw some of those kids do. He gives us his righteousness. What I'm going to share with you today is about the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is not given to use for salvation. That's given by grace through faith. The wisdom of God is so that you can live the abundant in life and prosper in all you do. Talking about wisdom, I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, written by Solomon, says this, "Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." That Hebrew word for buy means to acquire, to invest, or to trade up for. There are things in life that are so valuable, they have no price. Family, freedom, fathers, it's Father's Day. Relationships, truth and wisdom are those types of things. Jesus is truth, And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And according to Solomon, the author of Proverbs, the second wisest person behind Jesus to ever live, and the wealthiest king who ever lived, according to some experts, who was an expert at trade and selling, he says that you should buy truth and never sell it. You need to be a long-term holder of truth because Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom. And right now, I'm gonna attempt to give you instruction that hopefully leads to your understanding. And this is the commandment that changed my life. Jesus has commanded every believer to give, to pray, and to fast. We find this in Matthew chapter 6, a trusted source. Matthew 6, it'll be up on the screen shortly, is the Sermon on the Mount. Widely considered the greatest sermon ever given by any teacher at all. We believe, obviously, the greatest teacher. And it's given by the Creator himself. So the Creator of the universe is giving his greatest recorded sermon. That is our trusted source. And it's most clearly recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, although it's sprinkled throughout the Gospels. It gives us the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and of course, the famous Matthew 6:33. You know, Matthew 6:33 is a famous verse in this house and a famous verse for me when I was growing up in my family, but it says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's a loaded verse. We can talk about the kingdom a lot. We can talk about righteousness a lot, but I want you to focus on the word first. What does it mean to seek God first? I believe it can be found in the first 32 verses of chapter 6. And that's what I want to break down today. Giving, praying, and fasting is the way that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I believe if practiced, it will change your life. It will give you the God-given desires of your heart. These are not self-desires, but Holy Spirit desires. It will accelerate the call in your life. You might have a call of God in your life that could take 10 years, but with the Holy Spirit and giving, praying, and fasting, it'll collapse time frames down to 2 years. Does that sound exciting to you? It does to me. And the walk and your walk with God and your present situation and your life can look drastically different if you commit to these things. So now I'm going to read Matthew 6. And as I read it, I want you to pay attention to the repetition that Jesus uses. Great speakers often use repetition. We see this in the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King. We also see this in Jesus' speech. I'm going to read this passage and I'll highlight some of the specific language that he has in that passage. We'll start in Matthew 6, verse 1. Beware, Jesus says, of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Down to verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Focus on the things that are repeated. Jesus says, when. He also says, honored, seen, and noticed. Don't do it to do that. And that God is a rewarder. So here's what I want to break down. Verses 2, 5, and 15, they say, when you give, when you pray, whenever you fast, Jesus expected his followers to give, pray, and fast. It was not if, but it was when. Now, I had given and prayed habitually in my life up until I was 35 years old. And in 2020, I was challenged to start fasting. A friend gave me this book by Jensen Franklin. If you want to dive deeper into the discipline of fasting, and I take a lot of content from him for this sermon, you need to go into this book because it will really challenge you. And it challenged me that fasting is actually something every Christian is commanded to do. I wasn't against fasting. I just had not habitually committed to it. So again, like all things, I commit to things with extreme fervor. I said, Monday, I'm fasting, just water. That's what I'm going to do. So I get up at 5:30. I'm all excited. I'm jacked up. I get to 6:30 a.m. And I'm sitting in my chair. And I say, God, I'm just going to soak in your presence. I'm going to close my eyes for a second. And became 6:50 right away because I fell asleep. I did not feel spiritual. Then I thought, you know what? I'll probably be a little legalistic. I probably need to add coffee in with the water. It's not food, it's coffee. So I drank, you know, 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee until about 2 o'clock just to kind of get me past it. If you've ever fasted, you know what I'm talking about. You get to 2 o'clock, I have this pounding headache. Now, I'm like you. I'm not a monk living off in some mountain town. I'm like a family guy with responsibility and work. And my wife, Katie, is taking care of Cole, Anna, and Jenny all over the place. And I'm just like, I don't feel horrible. I'm so tired. Give me their cup of coffee. I feel so unspiritual, like such a failure. And that was my first experience with fasting. Talk about being humbled. But I got 2 takeaways for you. Number 1, giving, praying, and fasting is a muscle. You know, you didn't start walking right away. You fell a lot, and then you crawled, and you stumbled, and you took a couple steps holding onto the coffee table while your parents, like, don't fall and, you know, crack your head, right? That's how you start walking. It's the same if you go to the gym. You don't start bench pressing 300 pounds right away. You start with 2.5-pound dumbbells, 5-pound dumbbells. Fasting is a muscle. The more you do it, the better you become at it. And that's the same with giving, praying, and fasting. And when you press into these disciplines, I will also say the effects are not always immediate. In fact, sometimes when you're in a kingdom battle like we are, the opposite can happen. When I first started an extended fast, my daughter got sick. It's tough when you have a kid sick and you're fasting. My wife had a little bit of a health scare as well when I started fasting. I'm like, what is this? Is this going the opposite direction of what I want to happen? So beware that sometimes it's not necessarily immediate. Number 2, you can't do these things to be honored, seen, or noticed by men. You know, verse 2 and verse 5 and verse 16 talk about being honored, seen, and noticed. Now, I'm going to be frank. I'm talking directly to myself here. I love to be noticed. I love to be seen. I love to get credit. Let me just explain. I love to get attaboys or words of affirmation from people, especially my wife. I found out a system that when I wasn't getting enough, I wanted to kind of just tear up for words of affirmation, and she just had to give an affirmation to me. So it'd be something like this. And most of the stuff I was doing was stuff I should be doing as a dad or a husband anyway. So I would say a question like this: did you see that the house is all picked up when you got home? And she could say, yes. I was like, okay, I got some credit for that. Or I'd say, hey, do you like how I got a ride figured out for Colt so he could go to Reverb and Youth and everything? And she could just say, yes, right? So I kind of teed up a little compliment for me. Well, it got to be such a big thing that my son Colt was like, Dad, you're asking for credit so much, we need to have a credit button that we could just press the button. So I brought the credit button up here, right? And it actually, I don't know if you can hear it.
Credit.
That's my wife's voice recorded so that we can be like, credit. Hey, the pizza was great. Who thought about getting pizza tonight? Credit, right? Who told you to go to Sons and Daughters, Colt? Credit, right? Like, it's just like you can do it for everything. Like it's like tired of not getting words of affirmation? The credit button is your solution. You can do whatever you want and just make a statement and hit the button. You get credit. Record your favorite person's voice on it so you can over and over. The pillow speaker isn't that far away. It's just transferred to my wife for the credit button. Okay? Some things never change. Another thing that Jesus repeats is that he is a rewarder, okay? Jesus is a rewarder for those who seek him. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 18, he says, the Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. Now, it took me a long time to come to the following idea of what I'm about ready to say and say it with a clear conscience. It's okay to be motivated by reward. In fact, you have been divinely created to be motivated by reward. In fact, when you give your life to Christ, there is a motivation for a new life, a better life now, that is a reward in present. There's also a reward for an afterlife with Christ. So we are supposed to be motivated by reward. He is a rewarder, it says in the Bible, for those who faithfully seek him. And faithfully seeking him includes giving, praying, and fasting as he commanded us to do. Now get this. I'm not saying that you give to get. I'm saying that when you give, you'll be rewarded and blessed because that's what Jesus said. I'm not saying you pray to get, but I'm saying that you may have not because you ask not, according to Jesus, James's brother. And I'm not saying that you fast to get. But I am saying that some spiritual breakthroughs only come by prayer and fasting. Specifically, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is referring to financial rewards because he goes on to speak about where to store those treasures and also how you can't serve God and money. But the main point is this, whatever your God-given desire is, not just self-desire, but the Holy Spirit desire inside of you, God will reward you when you give, pray, and fast. For me, it often focuses around business and family. I've been doing this giving, praying, and fasting habitually for 5 years. I've created a Google Doc that's my giving, praying, fasting journal because what I found is so many things happened when I gave, prayed, and fasted that I couldn't keep up with it. So I went to my last testimony in my journal of what I wrote down, and there was an entry for April 1st. And this was a time where I was going on a 2-day fast. I like to give at the beginning of the month, which was April 1st, and more on that later. And I had a chance to give to two Christian organizations in town here that we really love. And anything above a tithe is called an offering. So I had a chance to give. I had a chance to fast, and I pray every day. So I was giving, praying, and fasting during this time. And I gave this amount. And I felt like it was it wasn't a ton, but it was a little bit of a stretch amount. And by the end of that 2-day fast, I had secured sales of 3 times of what I had given. I can give you multiple testimonies that I have experienced. Now, you can look at me and say, that's Jay. You know, he's unique. He did that. He played football, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm gonna give you a testimony of my friend Jake. Jake is a guy that I've been meeting with. Jake sells insurance. He was trying to sell me some insurance, but he ended up talking about Jesus. And like me, he's hungry for God. And because we're hungry for God, we talk about the things of God. So we started talking about business. And I said, man, if you really want to be successful, because insurance is sales like I am, he said, I see you need to start giving, praying, and fasting. He took that, and very few people the first time you tell them will take it and just put it into action. And he says this, I decided to give, pray, and fast. The combination of giving, fasting, and praying has started a new life for me. I feel a stronger connection to God. My business has exponentially grown in a matter of months, and it sparked a huge breakthrough for me. March was the best month I've ever had in business. I reached out to him this week and I said, hey, I'm gonna share your testimony. He said, hey, by the way, May was 1.5 times greater than March for sales. I give credit to giving, praying, and fasting. Maybe it's not financial. Maybe the call of God's heart is that you would see revival in Central Illinois like it was for this church. And they said, you know what? We believe that God's speaking through giving, praying, fasting 1 year ago at this time. They committed to doing that as a church and the Holy Spirit to begin to break through in unusual ways. Things that you're seeing today now. We prayed for someone down here that was just delivered from a demon in the first service. We saw people get baptized. We saw people give their life to Christ right here. And in the past couple days, you've heard of 100 people being really touched by God. Why did this happen? I believe it's because this church committed as a body to giving, praying, and fasting, and God wants to give you the God-given desires. Do I think that the church would have gotten there?
Yeah, but what giving, fasting, and praying and fasting does, it collapses time frames. What would take 6 to 7 years to get there, it started to happen in months, right? For you, it may be finances, it may be health, it may be the restoration of a relationship or something directly related to your God-given purpose. Whatever it is, giving, praying, and fasting is an answer to not only achieving God's plans for your life, but accelerating those plans so they can come to fruition faster. Remember, it's not if, it's when. It's not to be seen or noticed. And he is a rewarder. You know, as I wrap up this sermon, there are three foundational truths I want you to get. Remember Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and never sell. This is an ancient truth of giving, praying, and fasting. It supersedes all mindset and all personal development training. But why does Jesus single out giving, praying, and fasting? And I believe it's because they are tied to the only true resources we really have. Strip everything we have away, the clothes, the cars, you know, the houses, whatever it is. All we really have is our time, money, and energy. That's it. That's all we have. And giving is directly related to your money. Praying is directly related to your time. Fasting is directly related to your energy. And if you've ever fasted, you understand what I'm saying. You see, these are what God has given us. Therefore, he commands us to give some of that back to him. Tithing is often seen as just a financial way, but you can tithe your time in prayer. You can tithe your energy through fasting. And when we give a portion of our money, time, and energy, God blesses the rest. Now, I like to do it the first part of my life. And I'll break this down. I follow the principle of the first when it comes to giving, praying, and fasting. Principle of the first is found throughout the Bible. Most famously, that Jesus gave his firstborn son, but also starts in Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel, where Cain gave a gift of some of his crops. Abel gave the first of his flock. And so I'm not saying you have to follow what I'm about ready to say, but it works well for me, and I have faith to do it this way. So when I give, I like to give on the first day of the month. That way, I make sure I don't have more month than money, right? Because sometimes that happens in day 25, and oh, well, I'm out of money, and the month got me. That way, I can put it first and say, God, I'm giving you the first of what I have. Now, when you live on commission, sometimes you have to do that by faith. So maybe your salary is small. You have to do that by faith. Everyone has a unique challenge. When I pray, I like to give the first hour of my day. What does that look, the first hour of my time? How does that look for me? I wake up and I walk around the block and I pray in tongues. Whether it's me praying or God praying, I really don't think about it that much. I do it by faith. Just like I go up and pray for someone by faith. Just like I give by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So I don't worry if I'm praying or the Spirit's praying or what. I don't worry when I read the Bible if God's actually speaking or not. He has spoken. I don't worry about it. It's something you don't need to think about. I'm just gonna do it. And I try to fast the first day of my work week, which is Mondays, because I want to give the first of my energy, because it's not about my mojo or charisma that makes deals happen or makes me successful. It's about God causing all things to work together for the good of those called according to his purposes, right? So why do I put it first like this? Number one, I make sure it happens, okay? Number two, I believe in my heart that it's the most effective way to do it. You don't have to do it that way, but I believe that God has given me faith that this is the best way for me to do it. Number two, and this may be the most important point of the whole sermon, so I want you to listen up. Giving, praying, and fasting does not move or manipulate God. It actually moves you to a state of humility. Just let that sink in while I take a drink. Giving, praying, and fasting does not move or manipulate God. It actually moves you to a state of humility. This is the main point I want you to get. If I'm giving, I realize that my money is not my own.
Therefore, that shows that I'm humble enough to realize I'm not the one that caused all this money to be provided to me. If I'm praying, the very act that I'm praying, whether it's by faith or not, is saying, I can't do this myself. I need someone, something, a higher power, the creator of the universe, to help me. That is a humbling posture. If I'm fasting, I know it's not about my own energy, about my own mojo that makes things work. It's about God causing all things to work together. Jesus illustrates this perfectly in Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9 through 15, he tells a parable and it says this. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. Notice he's praying. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. Okay, you're catching. He's praying. While he's praying, he's talking about how he's fasting, and he's giving. But this tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here's a Pharisee, a teacher of religious law, doing these three actions in the wrong spirit. Giving, praying, and fasting in pride and to be noticed is not the point or purpose. The purpose, once again, is humility. And we can choose to be humbled by God or to humble ourselves. I would strongly suggest the latter. We believe that we have a living God who speaks and responds. And over in Scripture, God responds to humbling ourselves. Another verse, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's ability. And lastly, I challenge you to start slow and small. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know, there's a couple in this church, and they were having problems with a rental property. They couldn't get it rented out. They were having all kinds of issues. They decided to start fasting one breakfast a week on Tuesdays and pray about their real estate properties and other things. They did that, and very quickly, their property turned around, became profitable. But the storms of this life can come, and there was a storm, damaged some of their property, but they got tens of thousands of dollars from the insurance company to basically make a totally new interior of their house, totally covered. All of that shifted when they started to fast. They didn't do some huge 40-day fast. They didn't even fast a whole day. They fasted breakfast once a week. See, you need to start giving even if you can't quite give 10%. You need to start praying even if you don't know what to pray. The Lord's Prayer is located in Matthew 6. Start there. You need to start fasting even if it's one meal a week or one food group. Remember this, if it matters to you, it matters to God. If $20 is a big deal to you and you give that, it matters to God. If that issue with your kid at school that you've been praying about matters to you, it matters to God. If giving up something as small as candy matters to you, which it does because I love Fun Dips and Sour Patch and Bottle Caps and Lifesavers, I love them all. That's actually a big thing for me to give up. Then it matters to God. See, all of these things, giving, praying, and fasting are muscles, they grow over time. I'll close with this testimony. Longtime members of our church, Craig and Kristen Dilley, and Kristen writes this, the power of obedience in giving, praying, and fasting.
For a long time, we had a rhythm of praying and tithing, but fasting wasn't something we'd ever really tried. In 2021, our friend Jay shared how fasting had been a game changer in his life, and he encouraged us to try it too. I, Kristen, was all in from the start. I just stepped into a new career and figured, why not? It couldn't hurt. Craig, on the other hand, wasn't quite as quick to jump on board. The idea of giving up food for an entire day sounded kind of miserable, and we can relate. But over time, after hearing Jay continue to talk and banter about it, and after seeing things shift in my business and our personal lives in ways we just couldn't explain, Craig decided to give it a shot in 2023, and since then, we've seen God move in incredible ways. Craig's construction business has grown steadily and opened doors we never expected. He also launched a second concrete and excavation business that's been profitable from the start and continues to grow. We've bought and sold rental properties and seen returns we truly didn't see coming. My real estate career has grown every year, and fasting has become a weekly rhythm for me. It's changed the way I pray, the way I trust, and the way I show up in every area of my life. And we've been able to give more generously than we've ever imagined. But honestly, the biggest blessing hasn't been financial. It's what this has done in our faith. We've had the chance to share our story with others and watch their faith deepen. Even our kids have started asking questions about why we fast. It's created such sweet conversations. Our oldest, Hunter, even decided to start fasting once a month on his own. We believe God honors obedience. We don't get it all right, but we've learned that when we walk out what Jesus teaches in Matthew 6, giving, praying, and fasting, he responds. Not always how we expected, but always in ways that remind us he sees us and he is faithful. We're grateful, humbled, and excited to keep walking this road one step of obedience at a time. Isn't that good? Yeah. Giving, praying, and fasting is an ancient truth that Jesus taught us. Proverbs 23:23 again says, buy truth and never sell it. It has withstood the test of time. No amount of personal development, mindset training, or effort can compare. Giving, praying, and fasting through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit is the key not only to your next breakthrough, but achieving your destiny in Christ. So my question in closing is this: whose kingdom are you building? Because I believe that Jesus wants you to build his kingdom. And during ministry time, I'm gonna do some stuff related to giving, praying, and fasting specifically. But what I've seen on the stage and first service, and what I heard about at Sons and Daughters, is that God is moving in a way, making people repent and ask for salvation. And the first surrender before we give, pray, and fast is to surrender ourselves, if we have not, to the Creator and give our life over to him. And so during worship, there will be people here on this corner of the stage ready to receive you if, and the Holy Spirit often speaks during worship, a thought comes from left field or an unction in your stomach where you just stirred to come down and repent and say, I'm sorry, I want to give my life to Christ. That's what the call is. The call also may be for the Holy Spirit to be empowered in your life or for maybe you to be baptized. But be aware that when we begin to worship, the Holy Spirit will speak, and I ask you to have boldness and humility, that word again, to come out in front of your peers and come down there if God is calling you. I'm gonna pray and then we're gonna worship. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, that we could be kingdom builders for your kingdom. Speak to us during worship. Amen.